Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Zavachim daf Kuf Yud Ches. Again, I apologize for my voice or the lack thereof. As I said yesterday, better heading into Rosh Chodesh Elul than Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. The shiur today is sponsored by Henry Orlinsky, in honor of the yahrzeit of Henry's father, Menachem Yitzchok ben Yaakov Yisrael. We hope that the neshama has an aliyah in the schus of our learning, and we thank Henry and his family very much for the sponsorship. So we left off Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We had already gotten up to the two dots towards the top of the Amud. Today, again, we're blessed with a rather light daf. We're going to continue with a discussion of the various places in which one is able to eat Kachem Kachem and Kachem Kalim in the various mishkans that were erected throughout the various periods in Jewish history. And we're then going to talk about an interesting discussion of in whose chelek the Mishkan of Shiloh was erected. Was it chelek Yosef, chelek Binyamin? And we'll see parallels between the Mishkan in Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash in terms of whose chelek it was. And then we're going to see at the end of the daf today how long each of the various Mishkans were erected for, how long each of the various Mishkans lasted. All these different periods in Jewish history. So again, we left off Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. It's the two dots, probably about 8-10 lines down on the Amud. The first word on the line is Ika. We are going to pick up from the third word on the line, which is Amar. So Amar Mar, Rabbi Shimon Omer. So Rabbi Shimon had said that that even on a Bama Gedola, the Tzibur would only bring chovos like a Karban Pesach and chovos that were shekavu lem zman, chovos which had to be brought at a certain time, which we said was a tamid shel shachar, tamid shel bein arbayim, karbanos that had to be brought at a specific time each and every day. However, chovos tzibur, which were karbanos which did not have any zman kavua, for example, par halam davar shel tzibur, sira vodazara, those type of karbanos would not be brought even on a Bama Gedola. So says the Gemara, my time at the Reb Shimon, what's the reason for Reb Shimon, who says that it's only these specific types of chovos that were brought on a Bama Gedola? That the Bnei Yisrael brought the Korban Pesach in the Gilgal. So in the Mishkan in Gilgal. So says Pshita, says the Gemara, of course they brought the Korban Pesach at the Mishkan in Gilgal. There's a chiv that every Jew has at the time when there's a Mishkan or a Beis HaMikdash to bring a Korban Pesach every year or a Pesach. So of course they brought the Pesach in. Of course they brought the Korban Pesach in Gilgal. So Ella, Hokamash Malan Dechovos came Pesach u Dekarev, Halav came Pesach lo Karev. That it was only a chov that was like a Korban Pesach that they would bring at the Bama Gedola in Gilgal, which was had the status of a Bama Gedola. However, a chov which was not like the Korban Pesach, meaning that it was a chov that was She'ein Kavua Lamzman, they would not bring at the Bama Gedola in Gilgal. The Idach, and according to the other Mandi Amar, who says that they actually did bring Chovos She'ein Kavua Lamzman even in Gilgal. What's the chiddush of the pasuk of Vayas Yisrael es haPesach? What's the chiddush of Vayas Yisrael es haPesach by Gilgal? What's the chiddush? Of course, they brought the Korban Pesach there. So it says Vidach Miboyle the Rav Yochanan. They needed it according to the shita of Rav Yochanan. The Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Bina Orem Makabel Haza. So Rav Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Bina that an Orel is Makabel Haza. So Rashi says, what does this mean? So Rashi says, this means that the Jewish people who came out of the Midbar, and when they went into Eretz Yisrael, they had two issues that needed to be rectified before they were eligible to bring a Korban Pesach. Number one, they were Arelim, because they hadn't yet had a Bris Milah, and the Torah says that Kol Arel Lo Yochabo, that anybody who has an Arel is not able to eat the Korban Pesach. That's problem number one. Problem number two is what happened in the Midbar. The Mesim in the Midbar used to die every year. Everybody in the Midbar between the age of 20 and 60 used to die. So they had two issues. Number one, they didn't have a Mila. Number two, they were Tamei Mace. So we know, how does one become tar from the status of Tamei Mace? So you need the Hazash, Lishi Yishvi, from the Efer Paraduma. So the question is, when did they get into Eretz Yisrael? When did they have to bring the Korban Pesach? And therefore, in that calculation, when were they able to accept the Hazah of the Para Aduma? So Rashi says, this is a Rashi, it's about three quarters of the way down, it's where the lines are about to get medium size. So it says, Orel Shenitma B'meis, Mekabel Hazah. So Rashi says, the Chiddush here is that if an Orel has Tamei Meis, then it can accept the Hazah, even though they're still an Orel, V'tor Mitumas Meis, Liga B'kachim. And the person can become tar from the Tumas Meis and therefore permit himself to touch Kachim. V'yalef mehacha. D'chzeh v'yasu as a Pesach b'gilgal. D'mashma she'asu a kilchaso b'mila b'tahara. So it's mashma when the Pasuk says that they did the Karban Pesach, that they made the Karban Pesach in Gilgal, it's mashma that they made the Karban Pesach like it's supposed to be done, meaning that they had a bris mila, that they were already tar. V'ruban arelam ha'yu b'midbar, and most of them were arelam. D'chzeh lo malu, because it says in Yoshua that they had not gotten a bris mila. V'arminan b'yavamos b'asara b'nisan sh'afru es ha'yardin. Lo malu mishum chulsha di'urcha. So, when did they cross the Yardin? The 10th day of Nisan. That day they cannot get a bris mila. Why? Because they were too weak from traveling. Ela b'chatzreyu demol. So they got the mila on the 11th day of Nisan. V'yachkachan t'mei meisim. And we also know that they're t'mei meis. Why? Sh'ayubem sh'arei ruban t'mei meisim ayu. Sh'meisu avaseim kolar bom shana b'midbar. Because everybody who made it to Eretz Yisrael, their ancestors all died in the midbar. V'nitzmu behem. And they became t'mei to them, to those meisim, because they were dealing with burying they're dead in their family. V'imlo kivlu hazah v'nitaru barilusam. And if you couldn't start the hazah shlishi yushvi while they were still arelim, elim shos lahazos mishamalu, they wouldn't have had time to get two azos after they got the mila. Datzarech lafresh shlosha yamim bein hazah lahazah, revi chamishi shishi, because you need 3 days in between the first hazah and the second hazah. V'kan ilo hizu ad yom echad asar benisan. If they would have done the first hazah after the mila, and we know that they got the mila on the 11th of Nisan, so they would have done the first hazah on the 11th of Nisan. So you need 3 days separation. In other words, they got it on the 11th. They couldn't get it on the 12th, the 13th, the 14th. They would have gotten it on the 15th. Problem is, the 15th is already Yontif, and you have to bring the Korban Pesach on the 14th. So, Ad Yom Chamish Asar, V'Yavamas Isa, L'Had Rav Yochanan Meperek Arel. So we learn all this in the Maseches Yavamas. So basically what this means is that they got the first Hazah on the 10th of Nisan, which was the day that they actually crossed over into Eretz Yisrael, and they got the Hazah, even though they were still Arelim. So the Chiddush here is not to tell me that the only type of Chov that they would bring in Gilgal was a Chov that was like the Pesach. The Chiddush is that even though they were still Arelim, the Hazah that they got to deal with their Tumas Meis was actually effective, even though they were still an Arelis. So that's the Chiddush here. Says the Gemara now Vayter, back in the Gemara. So Tani Tana Kameh de Ravada Barahava. The difference between a Bama Gedola and a Bama Ketana is that on a Bama Ketana you only bring Yisharos, you only bring Nedavos. That's what we've been seeing the past couple of days. And on a Bama Gedola, they would bring a Korban Pesach and also a Chov HaKavu Alem Zman, Chovos that had to be brought at specific times. So Amar Lei, Tetargei Masnitzcha Bi Olas Chova. So we have to be talking about an Olas Chova, the Ika Olas Nedava, because the implication of the Gemara is that they're trying to draw a parallel between the actual Korbanos that they would bring on a Bama Gedola and a Bama Ketana. Meaning that a certain type of karban could be brought on a Bama Ketana because it could be brought as a nedava, or that very type of karban could be brought on a Bama Gedola because it also is sometimes manifested as a chova shekavu lem zman. So says the Gemara, it's mashma that we're talking about an ola. Why? Because we know there are two types of chova, the two types of olos. There's an olas chova, which is, for example, the olas tamid, the tamid shel shachar, tamid shel bein arbayim, which were karbanas ola, and there's also an olas nedava. So therefore, there's a very nice parallel. The same type of karban you're allowed to bring on a bama ketana if it's a nedava. You're also allowed to bring on a bama gedola if it's a chova shekavu olam zman. So says the Gemara, it's got to be talking about an ola. Why? Di chatas yachid. Who chovos to kviya lemzman miika? Because if you're talking about a chatas yachid, and oh, just like you're allowed to bring a chatas yachid as an adava on the bama ketana, so too you're allowed to bring the chatas sibur on the Bama Gedola, that doesn't work, because we said the only chovos that you're allowed to bring on the Bama Gedola is a chov shekavu alem zman. The chatas is a chov that's not kavu alem zman. Says the Gemara, velukmi b'mincha. So why don't we talk about minchas chova? Why da'ika chavitin? Because the chavite kohen gadol is a minchas chova, and you're allowed to bring the chavite kohen gadol. Therefore, that had to be brought every day. So you're allowed to bring the chavite kohen gadol on the bama gedola. And the parallel is, maybe you're allowed to bring a minchas nedava, because you could also be menadev a mincha b'chol yom. So maybe you're allowed to bring the minchas nedava on the bama ketana. Says the Gemara, no, ksavar ein mincha b'bama, because this mandiyomar holds that ein mincha b'bama, that there is no mincha that is brought on, that a mincha is not brought on a bama. And the reason is, because, and we saw this yesterday already, it says, dizvachim ksiv. It's talking about the whole parsha about the bama uses the word zvachim, which is mashmat applies only to animal karbanos, not to menachos. So when we have a brisa that tells me that the same type of karban, I could bring it as an adava on a bama ketana or as a chov on a bama gedola, it's got to be talking only about an ola. I bring an olas nedava on a bama ketana, I bring an olas chova, which is a chova shekavu olam zman, because it's an olas tamid, on the bama gedola. All right, says the Gemara in Avaiter. So Ba b'Shiloh, when they came to Shiloh, so the Gemara told us, the Mishnah told us something interesting about Shiloh, that it had a stone floor, it didn't have a roof, it rather had curtains as walls and a roof. Says the Gemara, Minani Mili, how do we know all this? Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kosav Echad Amar v'Tavieyu Beis Hashem Shiloh. One pasuk is referring to the Mishkan in Shiloh as Beis Hashem. Because of Echad Omer, and the other pasuk says, Vayatesh es Mishkan Shilo Oel Shikain, that he dwelled in a tent, Ba'adam. So Viksiv, Vayimois Ba'oel Yosef, Uvashevet Ephraim Labachar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu despised the Oel Yosef. So what was it? So was it a house, or was it a tent? A tent is something, obviously, that's made out of cloth. It's not a permanent fixture. A house is something that is a permanent fixture. So which one was it? Haketzad. So the reason that it's referred to in this sort of hybrid manner is because there wasn't a real permanent structure. Rather, there was a stone floor, and there were yerios, and there were curtains as the ceiling and as the walls. V'hi ha'isa menucha, and that is the Mishkan Shiloh, is the place called, that's referenced as menucha, actually in this week's parsha. So this is a daf yomi coincidence. All of these psukim come from parshas Re'eh. So it was called menucha because at least when they got to Shiloh, it was quasi permanent. At least then they had a stone floor. Until then, they didn't have any stone floors. It was all sort of just on the ground, but over here they had a stone floor. That's why it was called menucha. It's more like a resting place. So kachim kalim, so kachim kachim could be eaten only lifnim naklaim. And kachim kalim, we saw in the Mishnah, it was an interesting halacha, that they were able to be eaten any place from where you could see the Mishkan Shiloh. So minani mili, how do we know this? That's an interesting halacha. So Rav Hoshea d'amar kra, yishamar lecha pentale olosecha b'kal makam sha'ata tireh. So b'kamakam ata asher tireh iata male. In other words, there is an isser of shchutei chutz. You're not allowed to be male something wherever you could see the Mishkan of Shiloh. Aval ata ochel b'kamakam shata roa. However, any place from which you could see the Mishkan of Shiloh, you're allowed to eat the korban there. So says the Gemara, Ema b'chomokam shata roa iata male ela ata aval ata zoveach b'chomokam shatira. How do you know that that's what it's talking about? Maybe it means that you can't be male, you can't put up on a mizbeach outside the Mishkan Shiloh a karban from wherever you could see the Mishkan, but maybe you're allowed to shecht a karban even outside the Mishkan Shiloh so long as you could see it there. Says the Gemara, Amar Aviyane, Amar Kro, Shamtale v'Shamtase. No, because it says Shamtale Losecha, Shamtase, meaning over there you have to do the halah and the asiya. What's the asiya? The asiya obviously is the shechita. The asiya is the zvicha. In other words, the zvicha, the halah, it's got to be only inside. What are you allowed to do outside? You're allowed to eat outside so long as you can see the Mishkan Shiloh from there. So Rav Dimi Bar Chasa Amar Kra. So Rav Dimi Bar Chasa says from the pasuk as follows. Flipping over to Kuf Yud Chesem Beis, Velo Sanach Shilo. It says, and to him belonged Tanach Shilo. And Rashi just points out over here that Rashi looked. He didn't find any instance of the word Ta'anas in any other place in the Torah Shebichsav in Tanakh. He didn't find any other instance of the word Ta'anas except for here in reference to Tanashila. So it says Velo Tanashila. We'll see in the Gemara what exactly the Tanashila was. So Makom Shekola Roe Oso Misanech Alav Alachilas Kachem Shiloh. Why is it Tana Shiloh? Because it's a place where whoever sees the Makom of Shiloh will sigh on account of the Achilas Kachem. In other words, meaning after the Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, when you would see the place, a person would sigh and would give a krechts and say, oh, remember the time when we used to have the Mishkan over here and we were able to eat Kachem Kalim from any place where we could actually see the Mishkan and Shiloh. Rav Evo Amar, what? Tana Lashon Tania Vania. Right, I think he must be saying, right, so Misaneach, I guess, is a slightly different word. But otherwise, you're right. But he's pointing out that the root is the same. It's interesting. But yeah, good question. Right, so, and the Gemara then is going to give another drush on this also. It's a little, very strange. So says the Gemara now, Vayter. So Rabbi Vo, Amar Kra, Bein Paras Yosef, Bein Paras Ali Ayin. So it says, Bein Paras Yosef, Bein Paras Ali Ayin. Ayin Shalo Ratz So Lozun Vilahenos Midavar Sheina Shalo, that the eye that didn't want to have Hana and be Mezane with something that wasn't his, meaning Eshes Potifera, Tizke v'tochel b'malei einah, will be zoche that the Mishkan of Shiloh will be built on Yosef's chelek, where anybody who actually can see the Mishkan from wherever that person is able to eat kachem kalim. So Rav Yosef Rav Chanina says that we learn it from this pasuk. For its own shochnei set, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires he who lives among the hatred. So ayin shalo ratzal lehenos midavar sheina shalo, an eye that didn't want to have anah from something that is not his. In other words, Yosef, again with Eshes Potifera, tizke v'tochel bein hasnuin, will be zoche that kachem kalim can even be eaten bein hasnuim. And what does bein hasnuim mean? Rashi points out, because again, we said that the halacha by Mishkan Shiloh, which was in chelek of Yosef, the Gemara is assuming, that the idea of Mishkan Shiloh was that you're allowed to eat kachem kalim wherever you could see the Mishkan, meaning even if you were the chelek of one of the other shvatim, so long as you could see the Mishkan Shiloh from there, you're allowed to eat your kachem kalim. So we know what are the other brothers, what relationship do the other brothers have with Yosef. It was very complicated. They didn't like Yosef. So it's own shochnisah that even if you are dwelling among the shvatim that hated Yosef, still, if you could see the Mishkan Shiloh from where you are, you're allowed to eat your kachem kalim there. So says the Gemara, Tana. So we learn as follows. Roe sha'amru, roe kula v'lo amafsik beino leveno. When we say that you're allowed to eat the kachem kalim, any place where you're roe shilo, it means that you could see the entire Mishkan, and there's nothing impeding your view. So amr le Rav Shimon ben el yakum le Rav Elazar, espro l'chal kagombe kinshna deba'on. So the example is, like the Bnei Knishna of Ma'on. There was a city called Ma'on from the Beis HaKnesses. In that city, you had a vantage that you were able to see the entire place of the Mishkan Shiloh. So Amar Rav Papa, Roesh Amru, that Rav Papa says the opposite. The Roesh Amru, lo roa kulo, doesn't mean that you have to see the whole thing. Ela roa miksaso, you only have to see part of it. So boy Rav Papa, so Rav Papa now asks the question. Omed v'roeh, yoshe v'ena roa mai. What happens if when you're standing, you can see the Mishkan, but when you're sitting, you can't see the Mishkan? So are you allowed to eat kache kache? Svasema says this is actually a three-way suffix. So because you could see it when you're standing, perhaps that means that you're allowed to eat kachem kalim even when you're sitting, because you fulfill the obligation of seeing it because you could see it when you're standing. The second sad is, because you could see it when you're standing and the derech achila is b'yeshiva, that the way normal people eat is that they're sitting down and you can't see it when you're sitting down. And furthermore, there may be a mitzvah to actually sit when you're eating basar kachim. Therefore, you can't eat from that place because you can only see the Mishkan when you're standing, and the derech achila is b'yeshiva. The third sad is, maybe if you could see it when you're standing, but not when you're sitting, so maybe when you're standing and you see it, you're allowed to eat the kachim, but when you're sitting and you don't see it, then you're not allowed to eat the kachim. And again, that sad assumes that you don't have to be sitting when you eat basar kachim. So the Sfasema says that's the three-way suffix over here in the Gemara. So that's the question posed by Rav Papa. And by Rav Yirmiyah, Rav Yirmiyah then asks a similar question. If a person is standing, by the nachal and he sees it, if a person is standing in the nachal and he doesn't see it, my, so what's the halacha again over here? So teku. So the Gemara says teku. We don't know. There's the inin of b'chol haroeh, but the exact particulars of this concept of b'chol haroeh we're not that familiar with. Yeser Rav Dimi Amar Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, Amar Rebbe, B'shlosha Mekomos Sharsa Shechina Al Yisrael, the Shechina rested on Klal Yisrael in three different places, B'Shiloh, V'Nov, V'Givon, U'Beis Olamim, in Shiloh, and Nov, and Givon, and Beis Olamim, U'V'Kulon Lo Sharsa Ela B'Chelek Binyamin. And in each instance, the Shechina was Shora on B'nei Yisrael from the Chelek of Binyamin, Shenemar Chofef Alav Kol Hayom. Because it says Chofef, the Shechina is hovering above him all day, and that's written Legabe the Bracha of Binyamin. Kol Chafifos lo ye ela bechelko shel Binyamin. In other words, all Chafifos of the Shechina are only in the chelek of Binyamin. The Keren Ora brings a raya from here that there was a mitzvah of Aliyah LaRegel even by Nov and Givon. Why? Because the mitzvah of Aliyah LaRegel is to go on Yontif to the place where the Makom HaShruas HaShechina is. And we see clearly over here in the Gemara that there was a HaShruas HaShechina from the Chelek of Binyamin during the time of Shiloh, during the time of Nov and Givon, and during the time of Beis Olamim. That actually is a larger machlokes than the Gemara Makos appears to say, that they would not be Ola Regal in the time of Nov and Givon, but the Keren Ora tries to bring a raya from here that there was a mitzvah of Aliyah LaRegel even by Nov and Givon. So says the Gemara, this is a very interesting statement that we just made, that the Chafifa, the hovering of the Shechina, the manifestation of the Shechina by Mishkan Shiloh was in the Chelek of Binyamin. We had just brought down a couple of psukim to teach me that the Mishkan and Shiloh was actually in Yosef's Chelek, and we brought rayas from the Psukim that just like Yosef had the ayin that didn't want to be nene from something that wasn't his, therefore anybody who could see the Mishkan Shiloh from where he was is allowed to eat kachet kalim, and the Mishkan Shiloh, the mashmos, clear mashmos in the Gemara, wasn't the Chelek of Yosef. So how do you reconcile that? So Kiyazal Abaya Amra Kamedra of Yosef. So when Abaya came, he said this in front of Rav Yosef and Amar, and Rav Yosef said, Chadbra Havile LeKailil. So Kailil, which Rashi says must have been the name of Abaya's father. So Kailil had one son, Flo Mitkin, and he didn't really turn out well, which is an unbelievable thing to say about Abaya, but okay. So in other words, his limud is shver over here. It's not correct. Vaksiv, Vayotash Mishkan Shiloh, Vaksiv, this is the pasuk that we just cited earlier in the Gemara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected the Oel Yosef. So we see clearly that the Mishkan of Shiloh isn't the Chelek of Yosef, it's not in the Chelek of Binyamin. So Ravada, Maika Kashale, so says Ravada, what's the Kasha? Dilma Shechina b'chelek Binyamin. Maybe the Shechina, the Ashuras Shechina, the Mishkan Shiloh wasn't the Chelek of Binyamin. The Sanhedrin Gedola b'chelek Yosef, and the Makom Yeshiva Sanhedrin Agadola at the Mishkan Shiloh was in the Chelek of Yosef. And there are many places where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that his Shechina dwells among the judges who are judging a Mishpat Tzedek v'Yosher. So maybe there's no Stira. The Mishkan was in the Chelek of Binyamin. However, the Sanhedrin was in the Chelek of Yosef. And of course, there's precedent for this, like we see by the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina b'chelko shel Binyamin, the Sanhedrin b'chelek shel Yehuda. That the Shechina is in the Chelek of Binyamin, but the Sanhedrin sits in the Chelek of Yehuda. So says the Gemara, Amar Lei, Hachi hashta hasa mikra v'nachlos gabi adadi. That hacha mi makarvan. So over there by the Beis HaMikdash, it's very easy to say that because the chelik of Binyamin and the chelik of Yehuda were right next to each other. So you could say that the Beis HaMikdash was in the chelik of Binyamin, but the Sanhedrin sat in the chelik of Yehuda. However, by the Mishkan Shiloh were the chalakim of Yosef and Binyamin right next to each other, that you could say that the Mishkan was in the chelik of Binyamin and the Mokam Yeshiva Sanhedrin was in chelik Yosef. They weren't that close to each other, says the Gemara. Hachanami Makarva, no, they were close to each other. Gedama Rav Chama Rav Chanina, because, and as we see from Rav Chana Rav Chanina, Ritzua Haisa Yotza Mechelko Shel Yehuda, that there was a little strip of land that went from the Chelik of Yehuda, Menichlasa Lechelko Shel Binyamin, and that went into the Chelik of Binyamin, Ba Hayam is Beach Banoi. And on that Chelik, right where the Chelik of Yehuda was, intruded in the Chelik of Binyamin, that's where they built the Mizbeach. Binyamin HaTzadik Mitzara Levala, and Binyamin HaTzadik was very disturbed over that. He was very perturbed. He wanted to swallow up and annex that chelek. Zachanami, Ritzua is a Yotzes, Michal Kosho Yosef, Michal Kosho Binyamin. Also over here, there was a Ritzua, a little strip of land that went from the chelek of Yosef and intruded in the chelek of Binyamin. V'hainu Tichsiv, Tanas Shiloh. And that's why it says, Tanas Shiloh. In other words, what was Tanas Shiloh? And Rashi, again, picking up on what he said above, Tanas means like a sigh, like a sign of distress, that what was distressing? What was distressing was that it was distressing to Binyamin that a chelek from Yosef intruded on the chelek of Binyamin where the Mishkan Shiloh was. So Binyamin used to sigh about that all the time. He was very upset with that.
Says,
what's that?
Where do we ever find this?
That's a good question. I mean, right, but it's well known, right? Binyamin HaTzadik?
Not this Binyamin.
I think so, no?
Is this Binyamin?
Yeah, I think so. Oh. I think so. So says the Tanakh, I don't know. But anyway, so says the Gemara, what we have here is a stira. So first of all, what we have here was a stira, was the Mishkan in the Mishkan of Shiloh in the Chelek of Yosef, or was it in the Chelek of Binyamin? So says the Gemara, it's not a stira, it's a machlokas, ketanoi. Chofef alav, zem mishkan rishon, zem mikdash rishon. When it says chofef alav, that's the mikdash rishon. Kol ayom, zem mikdash sheni. When it says kol ayom, is the mikdash sheni. Ubenk seifav shachein, elu yimos hamashiach. These are the yimos hamashiach. So this is the pasuk that we cited, that chafifa, that all of the hoverings of the shechina is only in the chelik of the Binyamin. But when it says chofef alav, kol ayom, ubenk seifav shachein, the only thing that we learn from the pasuk is the bayis rishon, the bayis sheni, and yemos hamashiach. But we don't see anything about the Mishkan of Shiloh. So it turns out that the Mishkan of Shiloh could have been in the chelik of Yosef, because the pasuk of chofif alav kolayom is only regarding the bayis rishon, the bayis sheni, and yemos hamashiach. Rebbe Omer, chofif alav ze olam hazeh. Rebbe says that chofif alav means in olam hazeh, meaning all of the chafifos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of the chafifos of Shechina are in the Chelek of Binyamin and Olam Hazeh, meaning not only the Batei Mikdash, but also the Mishkan Shiloh. Kol Hayom Elu Yimos HaMashiach, Ubenk Seifav Shachain is Olam Haba. So we see it's a machlokes. Are all of the Mishkanos on this world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu graces us with a Shechina, are all of them in the Chelek of Binyamin? Or is it only the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni that were in the Chelek of Binyamin? Says the Gemara Navaiter, first medium-sized line. So Tanu Rabbanan, Yemei Ol HaMoed Shebimidbar Arbam Shanach Asar Achas. The Ol HaMoed in the Midbar stood for 39 years. Yemei Ol HaMoed Shebigilgal Arba Esrei Shana. The Ol HaMoed in Gilgal was 14 years, Zion Shekifshu, Zion Shechilku, 7 years that they were conquering Eretz Yisrael, 7 years that they were dividing it. And Yemei Ol HaMoed, Shebeno V'givon, Chamishem V'sheva, were 57, and Ishtairu, so there were left over, L'Shilo, there was left over for Shilo, Gimel, Meos, V'shivim, Chasar Echad, 369 years. So what does it mean, Ishtairu? What does it mean they were left over? What's the math problem that we're trying to solve here? So Rashi says, the math problem we're trying to solve is they were 480 years from Yetzias Mitzrayim until the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So if we can count how many years the Mishkan in Gilgal and Nov and Givon lasted, and then we know when the Beis HaMikdash was built, then we know how many years 480 minus whatever equals 369, it turns out. That's how long the Mishkan and Shiloh lasted. Since the Gemara is now going to bring support for all of this. So Yimei Yolmoid Shem Midbar, the days of the Yolmoid in the Midbar were Abraham Chasar Achas, 39. Semi Nolan, how do we know that? The Amar Mar, because it says, Shana Rishona Asa Moshe Asa Mishkan, Shnia Hukama Mishkan. That in the first year, Moshe fabricated the Mishkan. In the second year, after the Exodus from Mitzrayim, they erected the Mishkan, Mishalach Moshe Meraglim, and Moshe sent out the Meraglim. And we know that they were in the Midbar for 40 years. If they didn't put up the Mishkan until the second year, obviously it was there for 39 years. Now, Sheba Gilgal Arba Esrei, in Gilgal it was there for 14 years, Sheva Shekivshu V'Sheva Shechilku, 7 years they were conquering the land, 7 years they were dividing the land. Minolan, how do we know that? The Kamar Kalev, because Kalev says, Benarbam Shana Anochi B'Shaloch Moshe Eved Hashem Osi Mikadosh Barnei Al Ragel Haaretz. We know that Kalev was 40 years old when Moshe sent him to send him along with the Meraglim. V'Ashiv Oso Davar Kasherim Levavi Uksiv V'Atini Anochi Ayom Ben Chamesh Shmonim Shana Ki Avri Liardein. So at the point when Kalev was making this comment, he was 85. So in other words, it was 45 years later. So Kiavri Liardain Bar Kamaave. So, and this was after he had already crossed over the Yardain. So how old was he when he crossed over the Yardain? Bar Shivan Batamni. It says that he was 78 when he crossed over the Yardain. And we have to say that it was before his 79th birthday, in other words, because he probably just turned 40 when Moshe sent him to spy. And then at the end of that year, he was almost 79 by the time he crossed over into Eretz Yisrael. So he was 79, so he was 78. V'kamar, ben chamish shmona shana, harei sheva shekivshu. So what was he doing between the time that he turned 78 when he got into Eretz Yisrael and the time that he turned 85 when he was making that comment? So what they were doing was, they were conquering the land for 7 years. So how do we know that B'Sheva Shechilku Minolan? Good. So there's the 7 years of conquering. So we know from how old Kalev was that it was 7 years. How do we know that it actually took 7 years also to be Mechalik the lands as well? So Ibos Ema Midasheva Shekivshu Shevanami Shechilku says the Gemara, maybe it's a Svara. From the fact that it took them 7 years to conquer the land, maybe it took them 7 years to be Mechalik the land as well. Ibos Ema. Or you could say, Midulo Mishkachas La Barbes Reshana Acher Akasav Asher Huksahi Ir. Because we have no other way of explaining the Pasuk where that it says, the Pasuk says in Sefer Yecheskel, it says, Basrim Chameshana Legalusa Barosha Shana Basra Lechodesh Barba Esrei Shana Acher Asher Huksa Ir Betsame Yamazeh Haisala Yad Hashem Aisa. It's a Nevuah and Yecheskel, and we have no other way of explaining the reference to the 14 years. So there's a long Rashi over here, and Rashi basically winds up saying that the way you wind up explaining the 14-year period that the Navi Yecheskel is talking about is it's talking about the Sheva Shekivshu and it's talking about the Sheva Shechilku. So just like the first one was 7 years, the second one was 17 years as well. So we'll stop over here. The Gemara then is, tomorrow the rabbi's back, he's going to be talking about the Mishkan in Ol Moed and Givon and Shiloh and how we knew again that everything lasted for as long as it did. He will finish up the Masechta, and he's back just in time because I am literally without a voice to continue. It's been a pleasure learning with all of you. Hopefully not again for some lengthy time until the rabbi next goes away on vacation. Yishkayach to all of you for coming to this year for the past 45 days or so.